At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey friends, and welcome to the second episode in our January bonus series called New Year, Same You. Today, Chelsea Sobolik is on, and Chelsea released a book last fall called, Called to Cultivate, A Gospel Vision for Women and Work. And I wanted to have Chelsea on during this series because a lot of us go into a new year and we think, what am I doing with my life? Anyone else have those questions? What am I doing this year? What do I want to change? And so we talk about just different seasons with work. We talk about the mundane. We talk about the ordinary. We talk about what a woman's highest calling is, and neither one of us believe that their highest calling is motherhood. And we just have a really great conversation about what it means to cultivate where God has put you. And so I hope that as you listen, that no matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're a college student, a stay-at-home mom, a young married, a woman in her 40s, it doesn't matter where you are, I think that you're going to be encouraged by this. Chelsea, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm excited to have you here for our series in January about New Year, Same You. And this is how a lot of us feel. We're coming into 2024. We're like, okay, I've got a lot of dreams. I've got a lot of goals. And then you wake up and you're the same person. Chelsea, okay, this is what I can relate this to. I remember the first time I ever released a book, and you have written before, and you know the date of your book release for like a year and a half. And so it's on your calendar, it's in your brain, everything. And then you wake up that day and you're like, well, everything's the same. For me, I was like, I'm still taking kids to school. Like, there's no, yes. Like, nothing changed. Yes. It was still the same me. Yes. And so I kind of feel like sometimes we go into New Year's feeling that way. Like, okay, I have big dreams, but I'm still the same person. And so I want to talk to you about seasons of life, working, how do women thrive in those atmospheres? But first, introduce yourself to all of my listeners.
Yeah, well, I'm Chelsea Sobolik. I live and work right outside the DC area. We live in Northern Virginia, but I work for an organization called World Relief. They're a global Christian humanitarian aid organization and the largest evangelical refugee resettlement agency here in the U.S. So I do their government relations. I think I have the best job in the world. I really mean that with everything in me. But that's what I do for work. And then my husband and I, at the end of October, returned home from India, where we finalized our son's adoption. So we are settling into life as a family of three. He's 2.5. So we went from 0 children to a 2.5-year-old. Adjusting to life as a family of three, but adoption touches my own personal story as well as I know it does yours. But so this is a topic very close to my story since the beginning of my story, but also now, my son's story. So that's a little bit about
because you too were adopted as an infant. Am I right?
I was born in Romania and as adopted as an infant. And then I have 5 siblings who were also adopted internationally. So
I didn't know that part of your story. Yeah. Are your brothers and sisters from around the world or all from Romania?
So I have a brother who's also from, we're not biological brother, sister, but adopted from Romania. I have 4 siblings from Russia, and then actually a cousin from Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
So we always say the Olympics are a really fun time in our household.
So are none of your siblings, there's 4 or 5 of y'all, you said?
There's 6 total.
Okay, there's 6 siblings. Yeah, are 6 any of them siblings. Biologically related?
Mm-mm,
that's none. How it is. That's what I always say about my family too. All 4 of my kids, none of them have the same blood. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I love it. I
didn't
it.
Realize I mean, it's, your it's family was built
complex,
that way too.
But,
yeah. Mm-hmm, oh, that's mm-hmm. beautiful.
And it's really cool to just to have something deeply personal in common with my son. I mean, obviously vastly different circumstances and parts of the world, but the way we joined our families is the same. And so he and I will have that in common. And that's really deeply special to me that we'll have that in common.
That totally is. And I know we're not talking about adoption today. You'll have to come back on and we'll have a whole conversation about adoption. But I can say that it almost makes me get teary-eyed of like, I think it will be super special to your son because I don't know if you, I would assume that you did. My kids have all gone through the like, just all the questions and all the thoughts and all the things about how did you end up here? And it's not the quote unquote typical or right or normal or however you want to say it. And so it will be really special between you and your son. And now I'm almost crying, Chelsea. So we will have to have you come back to talk about adoption, but let's talk about this. Yes. You know, we mentioned New Year, Same You, and you recently released a book called Called to Cultivate, A Gospel Vision for Women in Work. And I'm super excited about seeing this book and getting this into the hands of women because it is a conversation that I think a lot of women are having of what does it look like for me to cultivate in my family and my church and my work life. And you really believe that women have an important role to play. Can you tell me like where that came from or why that idea, why write a whole book about it? What does that mean for you?
This concept of women cultivating and working originates in the very first pages of scripture where God creates humanity, he creates Adam and Eve, and he gives them the creation mandate. And it's really important to note he gives it to both Adam and Eve. And so women, Eve, and women throughout history are invited into and called into culture making, called into creating something out of the world. And this looks different for different women throughout history and different women in different seasons today. But women, are called to work, whether inside the home, outside the home, some combination of the two. But I think it's so important for us to realize and remember that the work we put our hands to every single day matters not only today to help love our neighbor, but is part of how we were created as image bearers. Mm. God worked, and so we work. And women have played and are continuing to play a vital role in their families, their churches, their communities, and the kingdom of God. So I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing for us to remember that this is how God originally designed the world before the fall. Obviously, I will be the first to raise my hand and know that the fall impacts our work and mars our work. I share in the book of my very personal story working on Capitol Hill, and my boss resigned because of a sex scandal in the middle of the Me Too movement, and I lost my job. And so I know very personally what it feels like to be in work environments in the midst of the fall, but that's not how God originally designed work, and that is not how God redeems work. We get to be a part of how God is redeeming the world through our work, and I love that, and I think it's a really beautiful thing for us to think about.
It's so good. You know, I was thinking when I was looking through your book and I was even just hearing you talking right now, that that wasn't a message I grew up hearing a lot that included
Same.
Women. Yeah. And so everything that you were saying, I would have said, yes, I've heard that. Yes, I've heard that. But I don't think I heard that towards women. And I grew up and my mom was a working mom my whole life. I think out of necessity, you know, like it was just, that's just what our family needed. But I kind of had this idea, Chelsea, and I wouldn't say that it was ever verbally said to me, although it might have been. I just don't have a memory of it. But really this idea and this belief that as a woman, the best thing I could do was to be a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home wife, whatever you look like. And just like that would be my work that I would cultivate was that. And again, you and I are both saying there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I don't think I ever heard the narrative that there was anything more that I could possibly do. And so I want to hear you talk about this. A lot of like I just sold myself would have said this, you know, years and years ago, that a woman's highest calling is motherhood or even being a wife. I think I hear it more from motherhood, that a woman's highest calling is motherhood. And I'd love to hear from you about how do we actually push women towards a different higher calling? Because you and I both know, like, you just became a mom, in October. And what does that mean about you for the, past whatever years you've been married? So talk with us a little bit about that.
I'm very, very, very passionate about this because I too have heard those messages for a long time, even if it's subtle or mm-hmm. not explicit, that a woman's highest calling is to be a wife and mother. And I really want to push back against this because two reasons. Let me first say they are good God-designed roles, but they were never ever meant to bear the weight of being a woman's highest or truest calling. For several reasons. Number one, God does not call every woman into those roles. And God does not call every woman into those roles for the duration of her life. I actually just finished Elizabeth Elliot's biography by Ellen Vaughn, I believe the second part. Mm-hmm. She was married to three different men in her lifetime. And so she, for a season, was called to be Jed Elliott's wife. And then he passed and she was single and then she got, those types of things. And so when we elevate a woman's role, whether wife, mother, worker, whatever it is, when we elevate that to be a woman's highest calling, that excludes single women, childless women, women who are widowed, all these different types of circumstances that women find themselves in. Mm-hmm. And I think the second thing I would say is it's not biblical. Mm-hmm. We don't see in scripture that is a woman's highest calling. We see in scripture that a woman's highest calling and actually a man's highest calling is the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So love God, love people. And each one of us can fulfill that. Whatever season or circumstance of life we're in. And so I think it's really discouraging when marriage and motherhood mm-hmm. are emphasized to such an extreme that our single or childless sisters feel like they have no place in the church or no place, they don't fit well, or that they're less than because they don't have kids or aren't married. And I've really touched on this. I walked through a very long season of childlessness, and I won't say the name of the church, but I was at a church at the time that during the evening service they would bring couples up to announce pregnancies and engagements, and while we should rightly celebrate those, a large church setting where people may have just had a miscarriage that morning or a broken engagement or a prolonged singleness. It's not the appropriate venue. And so I think we're getting better in our churches, but there's a long way to go of rightly valuing and honoring all of the congregate members, not just certain sections that we tend to prize and prioritize.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class links to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com. Just today, before this interview, I was running errands in my town, and I met a woman, and she was like, I was coming out of the bathroom and met her, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, are you Jamie Ivey?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "I was just listening to your podcast today." So she's a podcast listener. And so we got to chatting, and she actually taught my kids in school. So it was like great getting to know her. And I was asking her about our family, and she said her husband had passed away a couple of years ago. And just even as you're talking, she was fresh in my brain because I just had a conversation with her. And I was like, what would that say to her if the church would say, being married is your highest calling? And she buried her husband 2.5 years ago. So where does that place her in the kingdom? And I think it is just something, it's really good for us to evaluate our language, our rhetoric, the way we speak about women. I want to ask you this. A lot of people coming into 2024 either are in a difficult season or they are, it might come this year, they don't even see it, but there's all these transitions. And you alluded to the fact that you guys just brought home your son from India. And I just want to have you talk a little bit about what is it for women and where God's called them, whether that is in the workplace, out wherever they go to work every day, or whether it is right now God's called them to be at home with their kids, which I have done both. And I always say, if you're able to stay home with your children, it is a privilege. It is a privilege. It is a privilege because most women in the world do not have that privilege. So just talk about those difficult seasons and how do we navigate those as women with our work life, with what we're doing with our work life.
I mean, I think you just touched on it so well, the concept of seasons, because especially for women, life comes in so many different seasons that it might not necessarily for men, you know, after having a child, whether biologically or through adoption, it's assumed that the man will go back to work. It is not assumed that the woman will go back to work. And like you said, it is a deep privilege that, mm-hmm. that some women are able to stay home if they want to. A lot of women aren't. And so it's the onus is almost on the woman to figure that out. And so I think there's differences between men and women and their seasons of life. So men's are a little bit more laid out in the Western world than women's. And so it's been really helpful for me and other women I've talked to think through life in the concept of seasons, just like we think through the weather outside mm-hmm. or the calendar year or the church calendar year. You know, we're still, as we're recording this, in Epiphany, and then we're going to ordinary time. And so thinking through our lives and seasons, and some seasons might be short. I just wrapped up my maternity leave, which is 3 months. It was short in the grand scale of my life. Mm-hmm. Or some seasons might be prolonged, maybe mm-hmm. more than we would like. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really helpful to think through, you know, what I'm in right now, whether I love it or hate it, is mm-hmm. not maybe promised for forever. And the other thing I would say too is, you know, I think many of us, our days feel really ordinary. And I think that's why a Monday or the start of a new year feels so exciting and fresh for a lot of us, because it feels like a chance to maybe try to be a new person or flip a new page. And I get that. I love that fresh feeling. But like the series, we wake up and it's still us and our bodies and our bank accounts and our neighborhood, all the things that don't change. And so I think this is where contentment really comes in. And this is something I struggle with so much, of when we're at home and, you know, we've changed the 12th diaper and, you know, no one's giving us a like on Instagram for that. It's the unseen, quiet, hidden work. Or we're at our job and we've sent our 12th email for the day that no one's reaching out. Just all these different things where we almost bang our head against the wall. We're like, it feels like my work isn't moving the needle, or that unseen work. Yeah. And I think something that helps me so much, this is probably one of my favorite promises I see in scripture, is God promises never to leave or forsake us. And that has such deep meaning in moments of suffering, but it also has meaning for the everyday moments where, I mean, there are so many women throughout history that we know their names. We know the stories and impacts they had on history. And I'm so thankful we know their stories, but there are millions and millions and millions of women throughout history and today that will never know their names, their stories, or their faces, but God knows. And that really encourages me when I might feel like, does my work even matter? Mm-hmm. Is this even moving the needle? And I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that way. And knowing that God sees me and knows me in those moments that I feel hidden or unseen, and in seasons that I want to end or move past quickly, that I can trust that the Lord is present and with me in those seasons.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
You know, there is that kind of mundane. I was thinking about that just yesterday, actually. We're recording this on the 3rd of January, and I went back to work yesterday. And let me tell you, Chelsea, I was running back to work. I was like, I really love going to work. And the week of Christmas to New Year, I literally just did, when I say nothing, I mean nothing. And I have big kids, so I'm not changing diapers. Like, we ate leftovers for like a week. I mean, it was like I did nothing but watch TV and take naps. So I was running back to work. But it was funny because I was thinking, as I worked a pretty long day yesterday, actually, my first day back, and got home, and my husband Aaron is out of town. And if anyone knows, Aaron cooks all of our meals. And so when he's out of town, I'm like, oh, I have to cook dinner. And I was standing there making dinner, like spaghetti, because it's like all I know how to make. And it was one of those mundane moments where I just had this thought of like, I went to work and then I'm cooking dinner and we're going to eat spaghetti and I'm going to watch a show and then we're going to go to bed. And it just felt kind of, for some reason I had this mundane, but you know what? Then we sat down at the dinner table. There were just three kids home out of the four. And we chatted and ate dinner, and I was like, nothing, there were no fireworks, nothing special at all. But I went to bed and I was like, that was a lovely evening. And it was just mundane. It was spaghetti around the table. And then I watched the show by myself.
But that's most of life, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I feel like most of our days are like that. And like, of course, we all have those high moments, but that's life.
Yeah.
A lot of us, I think. And,
you know, you mentioned contentment. And I think, like, I know we talk about this a lot. Like, we talk about social media a lot. And I'm like the first to say I love social media. I love Instagram. And I'm also always trying to figure out the balance, like always. Like it is just a constant battle for me. And I'm always like, it's my job. I have to. And I'm like, no, you do not have to scroll for an hour. You know, that is not your job, Jamie. But when we talk about the mundane moments, I think that we start to believe that everyone else is not living mundane lives. Everyone else is living firework lives every day. And I think that right there is where, I mean, I'm not like overly spiritual, like Satan is around every corner, but I do think that he can get into us and start making us believe things that are not true. That's what he's done since the beginning of time, make us believe things that aren't true. And so we'll start to believe I'm the only one making spaghetti tonight. Everyone else is like going out to eat or they have a chef or something. And we're all making spaghetti. Like that's what's happening, you know? And so I wanted, since you wrote about work, I want to know, how do you fight that in your work life? How do you fight that in believing like, everyone has a better job. Everyone's moving the needle more. Everyone has a better boss. Like, what does that look like for you?
You know, again, going back to being a woman who is working, I think one of the questions I always wonder about other women is, like you kind of just said, like, how does she have it all together?
Yes.
And I feel like I'm dropping every ball. I have so many unread texts. Like, I feel like I'm constantly dropping the ball. And I think remembering, like, No one has it all together. Or maybe they do and I just don't know it.
No one does.
No one does. No one has it all together. And remembering that, even when it might look like someone does. And someone might have it more together in a certain area of life that I covet, but I don't know what another area of her life might look like. And so remembering like, hey, no, Chelsea, no one has it all together. And that seems so simple, but I need to tell myself that all the time. And then I think the second thing that really helps me is staying in my lane. And again, it's so easy for me to look to the left and the right and, you know, get jealous of this woman's success, or maybe this woman had career success quicker than I did, or had a child sooner than I did, or all those types of things. But I know what God has called me to do. I know the life he has given me. And I do think we should, as Christians, strive for excellence. And I even think we should strive for success in our work and make the most of the gifts and the talents that God's given to us. Two things are true at once. I think we can strive for excellence and success while also striving for contentment. And that might sound like paradoxical, but I think that we can hold that tension.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the third thing I would say, I'm in my 30s and I hope to have a strong marriage, a strong family life, but I also want to advance human flourishing in my work. And I meditate on this phrase from Eugene Peterson often, who he actually borrowed it from another author, but along obedience in the same direction of knowing, you know, maybe that my season of life might be quieter or smaller than I would like right now, but I want to put my head down and commit to this long obedience of following Christ wherever he leads for the long haul. And I think that long vision helps me in the days when I do feel discontent or I hop on social media and see someone else doing something I want to do or have something I want. And to fix my eyes on the race before me.
I love that.
Easier said than done, though.
It is, but I think it's like a good way for us to start out even 2024 as we're talking just now. It's like saying like, hey, remembering no one has it together, which is funny because let me show you this, Chelsea. This book of mine, Why Can't I Get It Together?
Yes. I haven't pre-ordered, by the way.
Oh, you're so kind. You're so kind. But it is everything we've been talking about is I'm so passionate about as well. Of just there's this idea that we look around and we think, I think there's a chapter in here. Not I think, I know there's a chapter in here called Unicorns Aren't Real. And we think everyone is just this unicorn that has everything together. And then we start to believe that lie that like, oh, I must be doing something wrong. There must be something wrong with me. And I love you said stay in your lane. That is so beautiful to stay in our lane and then just to be obedient for the long haul.
It's hard though.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
But we're starting 2024 reminding ourselves, you know? Yes. And I think there's something also when I think about like Christian life and here we are in 2024 and I read scripture and it wasn't the way that we live here in our American life. I mean, there was no hustle and bustle. There was probably hustle for what was hustle there in that century. But I just feel like God is so much more interested in our hearts being obedient to him than even the things we portray to the world, you know? And I think about that a lot of just like, God, how do I be faithful to you? Like you said, how do I be content what you've given me and want to be successful? Because I want to be successful at my work. I would say I don't show up for work every day, so I hope I make crappy podcasts, you know, like, yes. Why would I do that? Like, I want to make the best show I can every single time I talk to someone. And so, yeah, it's good. Chelsea, thank you for this reminder. This is really, really great. You guys, Called to Cultivate, a Gospel Vision for Women and Work is out now. Am I right about that? Yeah, it's out it now is. And you can get it wherever you get books.
It released while we were in India. It was the craziest.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is the craziest book release. You're like, yeah, what is my life I'm actually living?
Yeah. It's out. It's out.
It is out and you are home and you're a family of three. So thank you so much, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me.
You guys, as I was talking with Chelsea, I thought about a couple of books I wanted to mention to you. First of all, don't forget her book. It's Called to Cultivate, a Gospel Vision for Women in Work. But then we talked a lot about just this ordinary life, the mundane, what it feels like to just make spaghetti on a Tuesday night. And it made me think about a book that I read a couple of years ago by Tish Harrison Warren, who she's been on the show before. Really love her writing. And it's called Liturgy of the Ordinary. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. This book of Tish's came out in 2016. I think I just read it maybe a year or two ago. It was a Christianity Today book of the year, so highly recommend it. Another book I really enjoyed, and I also read this book a couple of years ago in 2018, it's called Seven Women and the Secret of Their Greatness, and Eric Metaxas wrote it, and it just goes through the life of seven women, who the women are Joan of Arc, Susanna Wesley, Hannah More, St. Maria of Paris, Corrie ten Boom, Rosa Parks, and Mother Teresa. And I really just loved hearing about their life and how it was marked by things of the gospel and what it looked like for them to be great women. And I knew most of their names, not all of their names, but just to see how they lived their life. And then lastly, in our conversation today, we talk about, hey, does everyone have it going on except us? Does everyone have it together? And it made me think of the book that I just wrote that's coming out soon. It's called Why Can't I Get It Together? Kick Unrealistic Expectations to the Curb and Rest in God's Truth. And after our conversation today about the mundane and what does it look like to just walk in the ordinary life and be faithful with where it is, I wanted to read a little bit from my book. So this is from chapter 9, and the chapter 9 is called Where's the Joy? And so let me read a little bit. Here it is. Story time with Jamie shall begin now. We need a little like story time music. Story time with Jamie. Here we go. We're unable to get it together when we view our responsibilities as pain points to endure instead of a blessing to steward. I have found that my responsibilities as a mother sometimes feel joyless. Often motherhood is like the movie Groundhog Day, where the same things happen over and over again, day after day. And I go through the motions with little joy and mostly discontentment. We can't get it together when we dread our responsibilities. Ann Boskamp says, being joyful isn't what makes you grateful. Being grateful is what makes you joyful. Lacking gratitude for the responsibilities that come with the roles God has given you to steward will always lead to a joyless existence. When I look at my Groundhog Day and express gratitude to God for it, my circumstances stay the same, but my heart changes, and I'm able to have the right response to my responsibilities. There was a time in my life when I was a young mom with two kids under two, and my husband traveled a lot for work. When I say a lot, I mean over 200 days a year. Yes, a lot. I spent most of my days solo parenting, and on many of those days, I found joy and contentment. But on the days when I didn't find joy and contentment, and I wasn't able to have the right response to my reality, I would remember a story that helped shift my perspective and realign my heart. I read somewhere that Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, who was also often solo parenting while her husband was engaged in ministry and without our modern forms of communication, she would tell her kids, "Isn't it awesome that God chose your daddy to go tell the world about Jesus?" I can't help but imagine that the lens through which she viewed her solo parent status shifted the moment her focus turned to gratitude rather than despair. I have a hard time getting it together when my balance and my reality is off. When I'm ungrateful for what God has entrusted to me, and especially when I'm comparing my life to others. We will never feel like we have it together when we're comparing our responsibilities to those of the people around us. It is often said that comparison is the thief of joy, and trying to find joy in your studies, your motherhood, your job, your relationships, your marriage, your roommates, or caring for your elderly parents when you are constantly comparing your responsibilities to those of others is impossible. We think we're comparing apples to apples, but the reality is more like apples to giraffes. Every mother is parenting under unique circumstances. Every student is learning under unique circumstances. Every employee has unique circumstances in their life. Just because you have similar roles does not mean that you have similar responsibilities. The circumstances of your life and theirs are not the same. Being content and joyful in this area, it takes work. Our brokenness and sin try to keep us from having the right response to our responsibilities. We must view our responsibilities through the lens of the gospel. When we have the right response, a gospel response, to our current realities, we are able to get it together no matter what our list of responsibilities look like. Okay, there it is, a little bit from my book. And then I go on to talk about some truths from scripture that helped me do this. I talk about Jesus and his mama and a lot more things, but that is from my book that comes out in February. You can pre-order this wherever you get books. And I know authors say this all the time, but pre-orders really do make a difference. If you think that you're going to read this book, it would just be awesome if you would pre-order it. Go to jamieivy.com/read and you can find all the information for the book there. And guys, we have giveaways. We have a launch team going on. There's just a lot of fun stuff that we're offering over there. So come check it out. I would be happy to have you over there in that community. You guys, thanks for being here today. And the next episode after this one in our January series is Rachel Cruz, and we talk about finances. You guys, happy 2024. The Happy Hour is produced and hosted by myself, Jamie Ivy, with assistance from Nikki Ogden and Ashley Caldwell, and the show is edited by Jason Talley.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.